You know it's summer when all people want to talk about is the weather. How seasonable it is, especially for this time of year. How incredibly mild. How typical. How it's finally come around. And how actually, now that it is here, it's all just a bit too much. We don't mind it hot, but not this hot. You also know it's summer when you can grab yourself a frozen strawberry lemonade. Tangy iced lemon mixed with a sweet strawberry swirl. $1.99 from the McCafe iced range at McDonald's. Served until the 11th of October, subject to availability. Price of participation may vary.
No risk it, no biscuit.
Coming from the Arizona desert, presented by SBNation.com. For Arizona Cardinals fans, by Arizona Cardinals fans, with outsider and insider's perspective, this is Revenge of the Birds.
And hello, Arizona Cardinals fans. This is Revenge of the Birds Radio. I'm your host, Jess Root, and we are on the air tonight, and you are likely hearing this via download, the archived version of the show. So I thank you again for downloading the show. It is a pleasure to have you listening, as always. Again, I'm your host, Jess Root, and we are getting ready to preview the Week 12 contest between the Arizona Cardinals and the Indianapolis Colts. They will play here in Glendale this Sunday, 2 o'clock local start. And, well, as we like to do on our Thursday night show, on our late-in-the-week show, we have a guest from StampedeBlue.com, our SB Nation Indianapolis Colts site, here, much like our site, Revenge of the Birds. And, well, before we go ahead and get started, with the interview with Josh Wilson, who comes to us via SB Nation, via StampedeBlue.com, we had a little bit of news that if you have been on the site, if you've been following the Cardinals, that the team pretty much is getting healthier, aside from Justin Bethel, who was cleared to practice on Wednesday. However, after being limited in practice on Wednesday, on Thursday he was downgraded and did not practice. So his availability for Sunday, although he said he hopes to play and is planning on playing, his availability is at this point in doubt. So what we can do is simply hopeful he can make a practice again. The rest of the team, although it seems that they're getting healthier, John Abraham was fully available in practice on Thursday. Britton Golden seems to be getting better. At the beginning of the week, Bruce Arians said he was probably about 90%. And with the loss of Teddy Williams, they really could use him even for 3 or 4 plays running a deep route, even just to make an attempt down the field, just to kind of put the threat of the defense, give a little threat to the defense that, hey, there's something over the top and can't bunch those defensive backs in the first 20 yards of the field. Kind of have to account for the deep ball. As for the Indianapolis Colts, but this is a very intriguing matchup, and for Arizona Cardinals fans, kind of on our site, the theme from when Seth and I were on the show on Tuesday night, one of the themes was that of the Cardinals just not being a national storyline. The 6-4 Cardinals, who are essentially tied with San Francisco 49ers for the final playoff spot in the NFC, although the 49ers do hold the tiebreak. There really has gotten zero play on the Cardinals narrative, and maybe it's because just historically they've been a bad team. I mean, if you're a Cardinals fan and have been here struggling with the team, you'll know that this franchise is a storied franchise for its ineptitude. I'll admit I was not a Cardinals fan before they came to Arizona. Granted, I was 11 years old when they came to Arizona, so now you kind of know where I am at in my life. I grew up listening to the Cardinals on the radio. I remember the days of Tim Rosenbaugh and Tom Tupa, Ernie Jones, Johnny Johnson, Ronald Moore, and then a myriad of quarterbacks that came and went after the Neil Lomax injury, whether it was Gary Hogaboom or Tim Rosenbaugh, Tom Tupa, Chris Chandler, Boomer Esiason, Dave Brown, Jay Schrader, Steve Berline, Dave Craig, Jim McMahon, for crying out loud. Until we hit the years of Jake Plummer, and there was a glimmer of hope. They had the 1-9-7 season, the playoff season in 1998. Before that, just yuck. Then after that, yuck. Until Ken Whisenhunt came around. And so he had a 9-7 season in 1998. He had an 8-8 season in 2007, 9-7 in 2008, 10-6 in 2009, and 8-8 in 2011. And those, Arizona Cardinals fans, Bird Gang out there, as you know, those are all, that's the complete total of non-losing seasons for the Cardinals in their history in Arizona. And, you know, so naturally, we don't have a huge fan base. We don't have a passionate fan base until things are going well. I remember, oh goodness, the playoff run with the Cardinals in 08. And by then it was in the beginning of 2009. And it was really something to behold. The only thing I can even come close to comparing it to was the 92-93 Phoenix Suns season, that magical year, the first year they went, the new coach, Paul Westphal, they brought Charles Barkley in, they were at the new arena, back then America West Airlines. And there was purple craze. And when the Cardinals were on their run, as they made it to the playoffs, something took over in this city. And the truth is, our fan base, and I say this with all the love in the world from our fan base, and it is the fact that we don't have a long history of being sports fans. There's so many transplants here, and there's more and more homegrown natives. I myself am a native of the area. I grew up with the teams. I am a diehard for all of my teams here. Grew up listening to the Suns, the Cardinals. I was a Dodgers fan until the Diamondbacks came to town, but the Diamondbacks came to town by the time I was already an adult. Sun Devils, I grew up here. I went to Arizona State. But there aren't a lot. There's more now. And so we're getting a generation of young people who are growing up, hopefully, as Cardinals fans, and can develop that passionate fan base that has been longing, that we've been longing for, and it really has been needed to establish and to keep that really good base of fans. We know what it takes for the fans to get interested, and it's winning. We know what it would take for the media to grasp on. It takes winning, and it takes skepticism. And it'll be brought in with skepticism even. And so we bring that's the local narrative here. That's the local narrative. We've got the 6-4 Cardinals, who people still do not believe, while they're surprisingly okay this year at 6-4 and in the mix, there's a feeling, perhaps even in town, and especially nationally, that it's not real, that it's not for real. I've been on the record as saying that they've taken care of business before they started this 3-game stretch, after their loss to Seattle, that they had this 4-game stretch was actually kind of crucial. At minimum, they needed to go 3-1, but and I was on the record as saying in the show a few weeks ago that for the Cardinals, in my mind, to truly be a playoff contender, be really in the mix, they got to go 4-0, and that's where we are this week. We're at the Indianapolis Colts game. Andrew Luck is coming to town. The storyline is kind of set. It's a beautiful story where we've got Bruce Arians, the new Arizona Cardinals head coach, who was the interim coach last season for the Colts and led them, while Chuck Pagano was out with leukemia, to a magical season. They were an anomaly. A rookie quarterback. They ended up winning 11 games and going to the playoffs, and they just got on a roll. And now the Colts come to town. You've got Arians, who's got a coaching job essentially because Pagano got sick, and Pagano's facing him. They're like brothers, like a backyard brawl, as they both have described it. They both kind of know their tendencies. But at the same time, there's a little parallel to this when we had Ken Whisenhunt's first season in 2007, and the Steelers came to town, and they defeated them. Now, granted, they weren't in the middle of a playoff race then. They weren't. And they were kind of in it, and in the end, they got hot enough towards the end where they were kind of in the mix but were on the outside looking in. You've got kind of the same narrative now, only this time that the Cardinals kind of control their destiny. They're in a position to, if they win games, they're going to make it to the playoffs. And this is one of those games to kind of start. Larry Fitzgerald said it on Thursday to the media. If we're going to consider ourselves a playoff team, if we're serious as being a playoff team, we have to win this game. This game's a big game. I would say it's been the most important game for their playoff lives. The Atlanta game was kind of the turning point. That's where things could have gone awry or in the right direction. After the loss to Seattle, they needed that win to kind of point them in the right direction. Which direction was the season going to go? They took that. They made that right turn. They didn't turn towards the depths of 2012, to the depths of 2010. Or the many years before 2007. And they took care of business. They defeated the Falcons. They took care of business against the Jaguars. They beat the Texans. And now we have the Indianapolis Colts, 7-3 Colts, who have been as good as you can be and as puzzling as can be. Their wins include some of the best wins of the season, some of the best games of the season, when they took down the Seattle Seahawks, Seahawks' only loss. They took down the San Francisco 49ers in San Francisco in convincing fashion, and they beat Peyton Manning. But they lost to the Rams, and not to the Rams with Sam Bradford. They lost to them in shockingly poor fashion to their backup. They've lost to the Chargers. They lost to the Dolphins. So they've got kind of this up-and-down season, and that's where we're at. And so we've got the Colts coming into town. Got an intriguing matchup. And since someone is probably better, more equipped, and more qualified to talk about the Colts than I think it's time to bring on our guest. And let's welcome him on now. And we'd like to welcome Josh Wilson from Stampede Blue, the SB Nation Indianapolis Colts team site, which is the sister site to our Revenge of the Birds for the Arizona Cardinals. How are you doing tonight, Josh?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time out to talk some Colts. Obviously, the two teams have some connections. The Cardinals with Bruce Arians as the head coach. The Colts, they've got, well, one of our players from last season in Greg Toler. It has kind of been an up-and-down season, I guess. It's going to be a season of highs and lows for the Colts. Could you tell us a little bit about how the season has gone? It's kind of the roller coaster with some really big wins, having beaten the 49ers, beaten the Seahawks, beating the Broncos. And then with losses to San Diego, to the Rams, and not just a loss, but a shellacking by the Rams. How has the feeling been across Indianapolis?
Well, I mean, I think you got to start with the fact that the Colts are 7-3. So I mean that's gotta take the precedent when we're talking about how the Colts have been. That's gotta be. I mean, we're all thrilled with where they are at 7-3. But as you said. It's been up and down, and the wins over 49ers, the Seahawks, the Broncos, those are three of the biggest wins of any team in the NFL this year, in my opinion. And so, I mean, those have been unbelievable highs and wins that, quite honestly, were incredibly impressive. But then, as you also said, they've had some real bad games, like against the Chargers or against the Rams especially. And even this past 3 weeks, they've gotten out to huge deficits in the first half. And so it's really been an up-and-down year, as you said. And I'd say there's been more good than bad, definitely, because, I mean, 7-3 is no – and, I mean, right now they're on track for the number two seed in the conference. due to a tiebreaker with New England, who has the same record. So I've been very pleased with where the Colts are at this year, but I think the biggest thing that weighs them down is their inconsistency. And, from week to week, you really don't know which team you're going to get, and that's the real problem we have right now, is that you don't know whether they're going to be the team that comes out looking sluggish and looking just like they don't know what they're doing, or whether they're going to be the team that comes out and can dominate any opponent in the league. So I think they have both capabilities right now, and you just want to see them get more consistent towards the good side, and that's where we're really at right now. But overall, I've been really pleased with where the Colts are at this year.
Well, in kind of the your season goes by, you've got this young quarterback in Andrew Luck. The stats don't give him, based on what you hear he's the next Peyton Manning. In fact, Bruce Arians said it today. It's kind of like I think he put it this way, is you take Peyton Manning's head and you drop it on a young Andrew Luck body, and he's a lot like Peyton in his smarts. The stats aren't nearly as gaudy as even Peyton's were, even in his second year with the interceptions and such. And I know in part that having run the offense at Bruce Arians' schemes last year, that it really is a high-risk type of thing where you're going to end up chucking the ball down the field and there's going to be turnovers. But everyone, whether media, analysts, players, they just gush about Andrew Luck. How good is this kid?
Oh, man. He's incredibly impressive. And I really, he continues to just blow me away with how good he really is. And I've been watching him for a year and a half now, every week. And I went back and watched his film at Stanford. I mean, he just always finds new ways to impress you. And really, as you said, the stats don't tell the whole story. And honestly, I've never found a player since I've been covering the NFL that's been true of more than Andrew Luck. And last year, you know, in the office with Bruce Arians, as you well know, it's going to be the completion percentage isn't going to be as high as some of the other quarterbacks, and the interceptions might be a little higher, but that's due in large part to the nature of the offense. And then this year, just his stats not being as great as some of the other quarterbacks, like you mentioned, it's just they're trying to run the football quite a bit, and it's been working decently, but still it takes away from Andrew Luck, and that's put them in some bad situations. But really, when you're talking about what's impressive about Andrew Luck, I think, you know, he can make all the throws you expect an NFL quarterback to make. He can make them any time in the game. But really what's impressive about him is his athleticism, his ability to make plays when there's nothing there. And you look at the Colts, and their offensive line is, in most games, playing pretty terrible. And the ability he has to avoid the pressure, to make plays, to extend the plays with his legs, to get yards on the ground. He's run for quite a few touchdowns this year and last year, too. Just his ability there to his athleticism really is what I've been most impressed with. And as you can sit back and say, he can make all the throws. He's incredibly smart like Peyton. He's got all the things you look for in an NFL quarterback, but then you add on the athleticism that Luck has and the ability he has to make plays when the line breaks down like it does often, and when things aren't going well, when he doesn't have a receiver open or whatever, he can take off scrambling, he can avoid the pressure, extend the play. He's great at climbing up in the pocket. I mean, just those little things in the pocket and his athleticism that shows you just, like, he makes a bunch of those plays that just make you go, wow, like, how do you do that? And I think that's really what's been most impressive about Luck, is just the way he does it.
Now, obviously the injury to Reggie Wayne is I guess, the word is probably devastating, and yet they still... how has that affected the offense over the past few weeks?
I think you've seen it really clearly affect the offense, and ever since the injury of Reggie Wayne in the fourth quarter of the win over the Broncos, the Colts offense really has struggled for most of the last three games since then. And I think you just look at the fact that right now, outside of T.Y. Hilton, the Colts really don't have any receivers that are stepping up. I mean, Darius Heyward-Bey surely hasn't, and they haven't found anyone else that can either. And the guy that was leading the team in receiving yards after T.Y. Hilton and Darius Heyward-Bey in terms of receivers was Griff Whalen, who they just waived yesterday. So, I mean, you look at they really don't have anyone else stepping up. It's been a lot more of running backs and tight ends. Kobe Fleener has really stepped up to tight end, so that's been huge. And T.Y. Hilton, of course, at the receiver He's been playing really well, but I think when you look at in terms of Andrew Luck, now he doesn't have security blanket he had in Reggie Wayne, so to speak, and he went to Reggie a lot on third downs or in the red zone, or whenever he needed a big completion, he always knew Reggie Wayne was there. So now he doesn't have that, so he's been forced to go through his progressions more than he already did. He's been forced to go back and make more plays. Because when he had Reggie Wayne, Reggie would cut off the route at points. Reggie was so smart a receiver that he can adjust to when the quarterback's in trouble. He can break off his route. He can extend his route based on what the pressure situation is, based on what Luck is experiencing in the pocket. And right now, the Colts have a lot of young receivers that just don't do that either. So, I mean, you look at – there's a whole bunch of factors that go into it. And when you add those all together, we've seen the Colts offense really struggle, and it's taking them a while to get used to it, but there's positives in that. In the second half against Tennessee, they look very good for the most part on offense, and they've had 10 days to work and continue to work. So there are positives, but most definitely it has affected them, and you can see it in numerous ways when you look at the offense.
Now, I'm going to ask you a little bit later specifically about how that's going to match up, especially without Reggie Wayne. You've got kind of your one receiver threat in T.Y. Hilton. And I'm going to ask you a little bit later about how you think they'll match up against the Cardinals, specifically with their defense, where you've got like Patrick Peterson, and they've got some really good pieces there. But I want to talk a little bit more about the offense. Bruce Arians described it today in his press conference, saying that the question was about how similar, how does the Colts offense look? Is it more or less what they were running last year? And he said, not exactly. He said that they're doing more power O sets. More or less, the running game resembles more the San Francisco 49ers, with the passing game resembling more what the Cardinals do. Or perhaps it's kind of rather the offense looks more like the 49ers than it does the Cardinals. Is that a fair assessment based on what Arian said today?
I think so. And I think that you look at Bruce Arians' offense is, you run the football some, but when you're passing the ball, you just chuck it down the field and try and get those big chunks of yardage, and that's what Andrew Luck did last year. And then this year, you come and you look at more of the offense that he ran at Stanford. That's a power run offense with a shorter passing game. They're still throwing it downfield some, but they've got a much shorter base passing game, just more. More running sets, they use the fullback a ton now in their offense, and I mean that's
well.
That
Bruce Arians doesn't believe in the fullback.
No. So that's been one of the biggest changes, honestly, is having the fullback on the field, and just the Colts have more of an emphasis on running the football than they ever did under Arians. Not that he doesn't like to run the football, but now that's a priority for the Colts, and also Arians' passing game is largely based downfield. In terms of a lot of the routes, they have a design for the receivers, and in the Colts offense they run now, a lot of it is a shorter passing game. We've seen Luck get more running backs and screens and all that involved than they did last year. And so I think that it's a fair comparison. And Luck ran this offense at Stanford too, so it's not like it's something completely foreign to him. But they're trying to mix in parts from Bruce Arians' offense and from Pep Hamilton's offense now, and I'd say that so far it's been one of the biggest changes, like I said, is having a fullback there and just having a power run emphasis.
Now, looking at the running game, the attempt, Trent Richardson was kind of the centerpiece, or the idea was to bring him in as a centerpiece, is that Colts were willing to trade a first-round pick for next year's draft to bring him in. He himself apparently says that he's playing good, in his words. Yet Donald Brown has kind of taken over, not just outplaying him, but playing at a very high level, averaging, just over 6 yards a carry over his last several games. And what is up with that offense, with the running back situation? Is it a case where Richardson is still adjusting to the schemes and learning what his assignments are, where his reads are supposed to be? Or is it another, perhaps, case of, well, he's an Alabama running back that perhaps is the more the result of their offensive line talent and scheme there. Do fans regret the trade for Richardson, especially with the way that Brown is playing these days?
I'd say the feeling around Indianapolis is really a negative towards this trade at this moment, and it's just interesting to look at the comparison to where it was when they made the trade, and everyone was thrilled and ecstatic about it, and now everyone's talking about how bad of a trade it was for the Colts, how Richardson's a bust, and all of this, and I think either way it's too early to really judge him as a player, but the trade certainly doesn't look great at all right now for the Colts, and the question that we're all asking is why? Why isn't Richardson, why isn't he producing, and even why isn't he producing at the level he did last year, where he was solid, but he's under 3 yards per carry this year. It's just, we're all trying to figure out why that is, and I looked at that a few weeks ago in more in depth, and just, I looked at, you know, the offensive line hasn't been great at all. They've let so many guys into the backfield before Richardson even gets a chance. But then you look at Donald Brown and what he's done, he's running behind that same offensive line. So that just complicates matters, and you got to give Donald Brown his fair share of credit, because for much of his career in Indianapolis so far, he has just been the scapegoat for the offense. Fans have just ragged on him all the time, and you know, he hasn't been great, but this year he's been phenomenal in the role that they have him in, and that's just, it's a limited role. I think you see he's best suited for the role where he doesn't get a ton of carries per game, but he's getting a handful, and he's making the most of those. And so I think what's best is to keep starting Richardson, keep him going, and keep using Brown the same way they have been, because I think that's where Brown is most effective. But you want to figure out why Trent Richardson's not running the way he is, and there are plenty of fans that think it's just because, you know, he's a bust. He's, like you said, another one of those Alabama running backs that was a product of his offensive line. And so, obviously, the priority for the Colts has got to be improving that offensive line for Trent Richardson to run behind, but you also want to see him make some progress. And we always keep saying he's going to have that breakout game sometime, and we keep waiting and waiting, and it hasn't come yet. So, I think it's going to come sometime, but for right now, Donald Brown is by far the best running back on the Colts, and he's running the best, and I think that you'll probably see that continue against Arizona, and I think that we'll see the Colts try and use Brown a little more than they have been, and they're slowly getting him more involved in the offense, and last week he had 11 carries and made the most of it, so I think we'll continue to see him get more and more involved in that offense as long as Trent Richardson continues to struggle.
Now, I'm going to go to the question now. The Arizona defense has been, by all means, one of the best in the league. They're number two in the league against the run. They hold running backs to very few yards, not just overall in the game, but the yards per carry. The passing game, the one trouble spot they've had has been guarding the tight end. And aside from one play last week, on the 4th-and-1 where there was clearly a blown assignment, they had kind of reined that in. How do you see, if you've got Patrick Peterson on the outside, Tyrann Mathieu back there at safety, and if you look there, Peterson can, especially without Reggie Wayne, you now can sit Peterson on T.Y. Hilton and kind of take that receiver, potentially take that receiver out of the game. The defensive front has been fantastic against the run. How do you see the Colts being successful against that Arizona defense?
That's a great question. I think that the Cardinals' defense has been phenomenal this year for the most part, and that's been really their strength. And I think that you're going to have to see the Colts. T.Y. Hilton against Patrick Peterson is a matchup I'm looking forward to see, and hopefully we'll see that quite a bit. Because so far, we haven't really seen any corner be able to cover T.Y. Hilton just because of his speed and what he brings. And so I'm excited to see what Peterson can do against him. But either way, you're going to have to find someone else besides T.Y. Hilton to go to. And so I think really look for the Colts, because they really don't have another receiver that stepped up so far. And so certainly Andrew Luck's going to try and get those guys involved. But I'm just skeptical on how good that's going to be. So you're going to see the Colts try and run the football. They have been trying all year. Sometimes it's worked, sometimes it hasn't. But either way, it hasn't been enough to win games for the most part, other than the game against San Francisco. And so you're going to see Andrew Luck have to make some plays. And I think the real guy to watch is Kobe Fleener at tight end. And he's much more of a receiver type than a tight end type. But he has really emerged since the injury to Reggie Wayne, especially earlier in the year when they lost Dwayne Allen, too. Sweener stepped up there, but especially since the loss of Reggie Wayne, he stepped up and he's been playing very good, and I think that you're going to see Andrew Luck continue to go to him, continue to try and find him, because he creates matchup problems, and I wouldn't be surprised to see the Colts get him out in the slot some, bring him in a tight end, try and create the matchups that they want with him, and so I think he's one of the real keys to how the Colts are going to try and attack the Cardinals' defense, and obviously you're going to see Luck spread the ball around some, get it to the running backs, get it to T.Y. Hilton, get it to the other receivers, Darius Hayward Bay. They're going to try and run the football, and then Andrew Luck just make plays on the ground too, which is always something the defense has to guard against, which is almost unfair because of the throws Andrew Luck can make, but you also have to be aware of the threat that he is really capable of running. He's a really dangerous runner when he does scramble, which isn't often, but he does a few times a game. And so when you add all this together, I mean, the Colts certainly have a shot, and they're not going to try anything radically different against the Cardinals, but it's going to be a much tougher test, and I think, if I remember it, Chuck Connell even said this might be the best defense they've played so far this year. And I mean, I wouldn't doubt it, and I mean, Seattle is up there, this game will really be a real test for the Colts offense to see how far they really have come and how they can play without Reggie Wayne. And I think you'll see Kobe Fleener play a big role in that offense, and if he doesn't, I fully expect the Colts offense to struggle.
Let's go to the other side of the ball a bit. Kind of the linchpin of what the defense does is you've got Robert Mathis playing at an incredibly high level this year, and if there's one thing that we've seen with the Arizona Cardinals offense is offensive line issues. So I imagine that Mathis sees Bradley Saul, a guy who was on the team in Indianapolis a season ago. He's now the starting left tackle for the Cardinals and must be absolutely salivating. What else can we see? What are Cardinals fans going to see on the defensive side of the ball? Schematically, are there some key injuries? I know Greg Toler's been struggling with the groin. Is he coming back? Who are we going to see personnel-wise, and what can we see as they attack the Arizona Cardinals offense?
Well, first off, just about Greg Toler, he has missed the past three games with an injury. And the hope is that he's going to be back. And Chuck Pagano was talking today even about the big impact he makes. And so by all indications, he's going to be back this week, which is huge for this defense to get him back alongside Vontae Davis in corner. Really, as you mentioned, Robert Mathis is the key to all the Colts pass rush this year. I mean, he has been overwhelmingly the majority of the Colts pass rush this year. And they really don't have another guy there that's stepped up yet, but Mathis is playing at such a high level. One thing that's interesting to watch this weekend is that an outside linebacker opposite of Mathis is going to be Bjorn Werner starting, the rookie first-round draft pick, because Eric Walden was suspended for one game due to his stupid actions last week and headbutting a guy after ripping his helmet off. That should have got him ejected, but he's suspended for a game, so Bjorn Werner will be starting at outside linebacker opposite Mathis, and he's a guy that, you know, there's high expectations of him as a pass rusher. He's making the switch from a defensive end at Florida State to outside linebacker this year at the Colts, and he's been largely used as the rush linebacker in terms of pass rush, but this week he's going to be on the other side. He's going to have to, you know, set the edge, as they like to say, some against the run game, and they're hoping to get some pressure out of him too, so I think that's going to be a real key guy to watch in terms of the Colts defense and see if the Cardinals go at him trying to attack him, because he hasn't been great this year, and he's had a learning curve and he's been adjusting to it. He's been injured some, and so he's going to get a start this week, and so I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Cardinals attack him, how the Colts use him, and all of that. And then in terms of the secondary, they've been very good this year when they're together, and that's the big key this weekend is, are they going to be together? You got Vontae Davis, who's for the most part has been very good this year at corner, and then hopefully they're getting Greg Toler back, who's missed the past 3 weeks. Then you got Antoine Bessay at safety and Laron Landry at safety, who Landry missed practice today with a toe injury, and so I don't know what his status for this Sunday is going to be. We'll see as the week goes on. And so for the Colts defense, having a secondary there is key, because as Chuck Pagano said today, when you have receivers like Larry Fitzgerald and Michael Floyd there, it's going to create problems for your defense, and so you want to have the full strength of your secondary out there to try and cover them. And when the Colts secondary and the starters have played together this year, they've actually played very well. So that's another thing to watch for is, will all those guys play? And right now, I'd say it's likely they all will, but we just don't know at this point, especially in terms of Landry and then how Toller does this week. So looking at Bjørn Werner, how he's going to do, and looking at whether the starting secondary, all four of them play, and then just can Robert Mathis get pressure? And he has so far this year, but if he doesn't, the Coles really aren't getting much pressure at all, and that's gonna create nightmares for them.
Now, tell me, from the side of the Colts, what matchup are you looking most forward to in this game, and what matchup are you dreading to see? What are you most fearing?
Oh man, that's a good question. Can I say the matchup I'm looking forward to the most is Robert Mathis versus Bradley Sowell?
Ooh, yeah, understandably so.
I've watched both those guys play in Indianapolis some, and so I'm looking forward to see that one just from a Colts fan's perspective, because I think Robert Mathis should have a good day against him, but you know we never know in the NFL, and so by all indications, Robert Mathis should be able to get some pressure there. So as a Colts fan, I'm going to say that one. In terms of the one I'm dreading the most, I don't really know what I'm dreading the most. I do think, as we mentioned earlier, the one of T.Y. Hilton versus Patrick Peterson is really interesting to me to watch, too, because I love Peterson's skill set and what he brings, but T.Y. Hilton, I love what he brings to the table, too. And so I think we could be seeing one of the league's best young rising receivers and one of the league's best corners, too. That's going to be another really interesting matchup, and I don't know necessarily if I'm scared so much to see it as I'm really looking forward to see it. In terms of a matchup I am really dreading seeing this weekend, it's probably I'll go with Larry Fitzgerald and Michael Floyd against this Colts defense, because in the past 3 weeks, the Colts have really been torched by less than stellar quarterbacks, let's just put it that way, and their secondary has been. And this is coming off of after, they had a good performance against Peyton Manning. I mean, they gave up the stats to him, but they had a good performance against him. And in the last 3 weeks, they just haven't been good at all for the most part of the games, and especially in the first half. And hopefully getting Greg Toller back will change that. But now they're facing two very good receivers in the tandem there in Arizona, and an offense that loves to throw the ball and likes to throw it downfield. And so we're going to have to really see if this Colts secondary can get back to where they were at in the first half of the season, or whether they're going to keep up the struggles that they have been having for the past few weeks. And so that's a real matchup that I think could be a concern for the Colts. And it's all we're going to find out really fast how that's going to go, because we're going to see is Toller back, and how is that secondary doing against them. And if it's a if they have an awful start again, I mean, Andrew Luck can pull them back from almost any deficit as we've seen, but the secondary is really going to be tested this week, and I'm really anxious to see that and a little bit nervous at the same time.
One more question, Josh, before I ask for prediction. Just interested from this on the storyline. Getting a lot of play out here is the talk of the Colts coming to town, the team that employed Arians just a season ago, and then the reunion of Chuck Pagano and Arians on the same playing field. He described it he was on Rich Eisen's podcast a couple of days ago and said it's like a brother. It's going to be like a backyard fight with someone for someone kicking some of the other's ass. It's the essential thing. It's just the idea. Is that storyline getting much play out in Indianapolis these days, or is it more about just the Colts and their play? Because it is a big story here, obviously, because Arians has a job, essentially, because Pagano got sick. And because he wouldn't have had that, he likely would not have been a candidate had he not had to take over and then had the success that he had leading the Colts. So there's kind of that storyline going in. How much is that being played out there?
Well, I think you see it being played out quite a bit. And it's mainly from the standpoint of that Bruce Arians is always going to hold a special place in the hearts of Colts fans now for what he did in 2012 and just the ability he had to, he took over for, Pagano, first and foremost to him, is a good friend and a close friend to him. And then he was the team's offensive coordinator, and then Pagano was diagnosed with leukemia, and all of a sudden Bruce Arians had to take over as the interim head coach, and just the way he handled the whole thing. I mean, he never once implied that he was, you know, the head coach of the team. He implied that he was taking over for a friend and just filling in. He left Pagano's office light on for him when he was gone, and they left it on until Pagano returned. I mean, just the way Arians handled that situation, and then the fact that the Colts really rallied around both Pagano and Arians to a degree, and he kept that team together in a situation that, honestly, a lot of teams, especially young teams like the Colts were last year, they were very young. Most teams would have unraveled in that situation, and I think Bruce Arians really kept them together. He led them to a season that, you know, no one expected them to be in the playoffs, and they made the playoffs, and just everything surrounding last year was special to Colts fans, and it'll always be special to Colts fans, and Bruce Arians played such a key role there that he's always going to have a special place in the hearts of Colts fans, and I think that's really what you see this week, is so much gratitude towards him, so much appreciation for him, and I'm very impressed with his success in Arizona, but to say that I'm surprised that he's doing well, it's just, I mean, I saw it last year, and the opportunity he's been given, I'm so happy for him. He's as good of a guy as you'll find. He's a great guy, great football coach, and I think what's going around Indianapolis is really just one of, they're so happy for him, and they have such good memories, and he's a special guy to Colts fans. That's really what's been playing out, is how appreciative they are of him, and that, about the opportunity they have to this week be reminded of that is just really what's been talked about.
All right, prediction time. Colts are actually 2-point underdogs according to the Vegas spread. Depending where you look at the line, it's anywhere between a point and a half and 2 points. What is your best prediction for this game?
When I saw the line, you know, I wasn't actually surprised. A lot of people, a lot of Colts fans were kind of surprised the Colts were actually underdogs in this one, and I wasn't. I mean, I think that the Cardinals are a good team. They're they've got a great defense. They've got an offense that's been playing well, and they've got Bruce Arians as head coach, and they're going for a playoff spot, really. They're in the hunt right now, and they're a good team, and I think that being at home, Colts traveling on the road with the struggles they've had, I think the spread is absolutely fair, and I think that this is going to be a real struggle for the Colts. And even entering the season, I said this was going to be a trap game for them, and now I don't even know if I'd go as far as saying it's a trap game, but it's actually a real contest and like a real opponent they have to really worry about. And so I've been worried about this game for a while, and after seeing how the Cardinals have played, I'm even more nervous about it in terms of how the Colts have been playing. They've been starting really slow and relying on Andrew Luck to bail them out week in and week out, and for the most part he's done it, but if they do that again this week, I don't think that he's going to be able to. And I'm expecting it to be a close game, a tough game, but I'm actually going to take the Cardinals in this one, and I'm going to go rough score, Cardinals 27, Colts 24, somewhere around that area, and I could see it going either way, but I don't have a great feeling about this one from the Colts' perspective. I don't think they're going to lay an egg or play awful like they have in some of the games, but I also just think the Cardinals are a good team. The Colts are on the road. They're working through some struggles already. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see this go either way, but I'm going to take the Cardinals. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. Follow me at ColtsFanWilson. I cover all things Colts there on Twitter and much more in terms of the NFL. So follow me there. And then, as you said, it's StampedBlue.com, and it's where you go for all your Colts information. It's part of the SB Nation, which is a wonderful, wonderful group of sites there. And, head over there if you got time in the next few days and read quite a few stuff on the Colts and Cardinals, and I know I even had a piece about Bruce Arians and the impact he had. I had that up yesterday, so if you go to the site and scroll down a bit, you'll see that, and you'll see some more Colts-Cardinals coverage from a Colts perspective, specifically in the next few days. So if you have time, head over there, stampedeblue.com, and as always, find me on Twitter. I interact with fans all the time on there, and would love to interact with you all, too, at ColtsFanWilson. So.
Great. Well, we appreciate it. You have a wonderful night, Josh. Have a good night.
Thanks, you too.
And so we have, again, we thank Josh Wilson, again, at Twitter, at ColtsFanWilson. So you can interact with him. But a Colts fan and a Colts writer predicts an Arizona Cardinals victory. Now, I'm a bit more optimistic, and I'm going to give you my prediction for the game in a little bit. I want to tell you guys what the matchups I'm most excited for. I think the Cardinals, the way they're constructed, facing the Colts the way they currently look, is the perfect storm. It's a perfect storm for Arizona. There are some matchups I'm really gonna keep an eye on. The first is Robert Mathis. Oh my goodness, the guy's got 13.5 sacks, leads the NFL, and he's gonna be lined up against Brandon Sowell. That's gonna be interesting to see how he holds up. He really sort of is the linchpin of that defense for Indianapolis. Want to see, can the Cardinals at least keep Carson Palmer clean enough? Because Palmer's been playing really quite well. He's been very efficient. He's been good with his decisions. And he's, for the most part, he's been able to make throws because he had time to throw. If Robert Mathis is an issue, then this could blow up in the Cardinals' face. Especially, that's the one matchup I really dislike. Everything else about how the Cardinals' defense is set up, it really bodes well. I want to see how the Cardinals defensively, I want to see T.Y. Hilton. I want to see what happens with T.Y. Hilton against this defense. Aside from the mishap this last week with that 62-yard touchdown pass to the tight end Noble in Jacksonville, they've been so much better at defending the tight end. Kobe Fleener, though, will pose a challenge much like the same challenge that that Rob Hauser presents to defenses now that he started to play well, the Vernon Davis, Jimmy Graham, Jared Cook. Hopefully things don't go badly. I wouldn't be surprised to see a big gain or two just because of a blown coverage. But kind of the key matchups there, you've got Mathis and Sal, you've got T.Y. Hill and Patrick Peterson, you've got, on the other side of the ball, you've got a banged-up secondary against the Cardinals receivers. Greg Toler and LaRon Landy, half of their defensive secondary, has not practiced for 2 days in a row, neither Wednesday nor Thursday. And Josh Wilson, he said that he was confident that Toler would play. I will note that I spoke with Josh on Wednesday, and that was I don't know how optimistic he is or will be that after 2 days of missing practice that Toler will be in the game. And so they'll have to line up with backups. Offensively, I want to see the running game because Indianapolis is not statistically great against the run. In fact, they are 28th in the league against the run. Now, Jacksonville was terrible, and they held the Cardinals to almost nothing. But one thing the Cardinals have been doing, they've been balancing, even with the lack of success, they've been attempting to run. They've been continuing to commit to at least doing just enough so that you're not one-dimensional. Even after being stuffed the line of scrimmage, they rushed 21 times. They actually rushed 24, but three of those were their kneel downs at the end of the game. So they attempted 21 rushes. The previous two, taking away the kneel downs, they were 27 attempts in basically each of the games before that. I want to see them have success in the run so that it opens up the passing game, because, again, if that running game gets stuffed, then there's going to be issues, because you're going to have Robert Mathis go off and cause great pressure. Then I want to see how the Cardinals handle Andrew Luck. They've been really good. I mean, if you look at the young quarterbacks that they've faced, last season, Colin Kaepernick gave them trouble. Russell Wilson has played well against them. They, you know, at this point, Matt Ryan is a veteran quarterback. They have Matt Ryan's number. They saw Cam Newton in his debut, and he really threw the ball really well. Mike Glennon looked good against them. So Andrew Luck, he's going to have some success. But there's no Reggie Wayne. I think the thing that's going to be the saving grace for the Cardinals is their defense. And I can't see a Colts team with no Reggie Wayne having their number one receiver now being T.Y. Hilton, as talented as he is, being able to score enough to beat the Cardinals. Now, both of these defenses have been fantastic in the second half of games. The Cardinals, they make great adjustments, and the Colts, I'm not sure whether it's the momentum of their offense coming around and starting to make a rally, things going, but this has the makings of a slug-em-out game. But I'm going to give you my prediction. I think it's going to go different than you think. And I think the injury to Reggie Wayne kind of is the linchpin. I think they're playing at home. I think the players will be very up for this game. The Cardinals know that they really need to keep winning like it is the playoffs to maintain in the playoff race, since they are just on the outside looking in. They have to keep winning. The Colts have an easier way through. I mean, they play in a division that has the Jaguars, that has the Titans, and the Texans. And so if you look at it, they won't. I mean, they should have the same urgency, but they don't have as much to on the line, let's say, as the Cardinals do. Cardinals have to keep winning. I mean, they're tied for second record-wise in the NFC West. They're fighting for a wild card spot as opposed to a division spot, a division title spot, because it's going to take a lot to overtake the Seahawks. At this point, it's a foregone conclusion that Seattle's going to run away with the division. You've got two great defenses in the second half. You've got a Cardinals offense that tends to do well in the second half. That Carson Palmer comes around and does things and rallies the team. But my prediction, I don't think it's going to be a close game. I think that the matchup, the way the Colts are constructed and their personnel, I think plays into the strengths of the Arizona Cardinals. I think, because the Colts have not been particularly proficient at running the ball. They have a very average running offense, the 14th overall in the league. They have a 13th overall offense. But the Cardinals are number two against the run in the entire NFL. So, and then you see, I think Patrick Peterson will neutralize T.Y. Hilton. They're going to neutralize a running game, as they've done all season. So unless they're giving up big play after big play to Kobe Fleener, I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to be in a very good place at the defense that will put the offense in good positions. And I think the offense will do well. I mean, the Rams put up 38 points. You saw Peyton Manning. I mean, he had one of his, aside from that, the untimely interception. I mean, Peyton Manning put up his numbers. The Colts defense in the second half tends to step, but the Arizona Cardinals offense is coming around. They scored 27 points each of the last three games. If you look at the ancillary numbers with their receivers, Rob Hauser has come around. Michael Floyd has come around. And that, to me, more than anything, that is a sign of how the offense is clicking. It's running the way it should. And they will continue to do that. Final word. My prediction, Arizona Cardinals 34, Indianapolis Colts 20. this is going to be the signature win of the year for the Arizona Cardinals, going to get them going. Whether it can keep them through the rest of the year, I don't know, but it's going to keep that ball rolling. This is exactly the type of game that, that Bruce Arians is – if we saw with the Colts last year, he kept them winning. He kept them on the roll. They were believing. This Arizona Cardinals team is on the cusp. And if they're going to, they have to win, and they're going to. They're going to win this week, and they're going to do so in an impressive fashion. And this is going to be the week where the national media finally takes a look. What the team does with that after that will yet to be determined. But I'm predicting 34-20 win for the Arizona Cardinals, 34-20. And Cardinals fans will be fired up. Cardinals fans, are you ready for a playoff run? Are you ready for a playoff battle? Are you ready? Because it's happening. It's going to happen. I'm not saying they're making the playoffs, but they're going to put themselves in the picture. So we're either going to be ready for great excitement or great disappointment. But think about it. How much better is this than 2012? This is Revenge of the Birds Radio. I'm your host, Jess Root. I'm going to sign off for the night. Thank you for listening to the show. Again, likely you're not listening to this live, as I scheduled the show to be really late. So if you're listening to the downloaded version, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or through Stitcher Radio. Either way, you can find us on either place. We're on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back Tuesday night live, 9 p.m. Arizona time, 11 p.m. Eastern. We will be here back with myself, with Seth Cox, and I believe with Ben Jones as well. And Arizona Cardinals fans, thanks for listening. Have a wonderful night, and go Cardinals.
You've been listening to Revenge of the Birds. Keep the conversation going by visiting revengeofthebirds.com. Follow us on Twitter at Revenge of Birds. You can also find us on iTunes at facebook.com/Revenge of the Birds.